Here comes the sun, and I say, oh yeah, I'm here with Jeannie Soldern. This is James Steinle, your host for Everything Under the Sun. Happy Thursday, y'all. How are you doing, Jeannie?
I'm doing great.
Fantastic.
It's a beautiful day outside today.
It is such a beautiful day.
In the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood. Have you picked up your copy of The Sopra Sun yet?
Yes, I have.
Fantastic. Which bend do you usually go to? Do you have a particular newsstand that you go to?
I usually get the one on 8th Street, the popular one on 8th and Main.
Oh, that one is pretty popular. On 8th and Main? Or or the one next to Beer Works?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's 4th. Oh, 6th and Main.
7th and Main.
Something like that.
Like
6th and Main.
Beer Works, that's all I remember.
Yep, that's a popular one. Very cool. Well, thank you all for tuning in today to Everything Under the Sun. We are going to get on the line here in a little while, Mr. Jeremy Swanson, who will be conducting a photographer workshop at Anderson Ranch day after tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah, and Jeannie interviewed him for last week's paper.
Yes.
And we wanted to get the chance to get him on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is a really great guy. Or that's I take your word for it. I haven't met with him yet, but terrific. And then some other news we want to update you before that is we had our first session of our youth program yesterday at the Sopra Sun, training up and coming young journalists, high schoolers.
Yeah, it was really great. They're a great group of high schoolers, and they even feel like more mature than how I was in high school anyway.
Yeah, likewise.
They're already enthusiastic about reporting and, illustration photography.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and I noticed that they were interested not only in written reporting, but also photojournalism and even writing and sketches.
Exactly.
Like our notorious Larry Day.
Yeah. Who will be one of the presenters along with Brian Colley for one of the sessions. Yeah,
that's right. There's a lot of great local talent who have offered and volunteered to teach some of these lessons and to teach about their expertise. We have Klaus Coker, who does a lot of photographs, and who else? We have a great list of
folks. We've got Megan Tackett from the Aspen Daily News, who's going to talk about being an editor. John Colson from the Aspen Times is going to talk about being an opinion columnist. So, yeah, lots of different things.
Yeah, that's so fantastic. Well, we're really looking forward to it, and the students seem jazzed, and the program goes through
December 15th.
December 15th, so it kind of follows along with the semester.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, so readers and listeners, when you pick up a copy of The Sun here in the near future, you'll notice some articles by these young people from the Valley, and so we'll be able to chime into their perspective.
They already shared a couple of things that they're interested in writing in. So
they bring in ideas to the table,
right?
And I was telling them yesterday, that's always my favorite part, is circling up and tossing around ideas and learning from each other. Really cool. And so that'll be every Wednesday. Well, thank you, folks, again for tuning in. We're going to get Jeremy Swanson on the line. In the meantime, go ahead and listen to our own Ken Pletcher from the Sopra Sun, freelancer with the Sopra Sun, and his version of this wonderful song. Stay tuned. We'll have Jeremy Swanson on the line here shortly. Hello, Mr. Jeremy Swanson. Are you on the line?
I am here.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Everything Under the Sun.
Thanks for having me. Glad you could have me on the show.
Absolutely. Well, and I have Jeannie Solder in here as well in the studio.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Jeremy.
I know you two are already acquainted.
Yeah.
Yes, chatted a bunch just maybe a week or two ago here.
Fantastic. And did you all get to meet in person, or did you do it over the phone?
We did it over the telephone. Yeah.
We've been doing that a lot these days with the way the world is.
That's for sure. We'll get there. We'll get there slowly, but we'll get there.
We certainly will. Well, we have a couple things we want to talk to you about, including your photography and especially of snowflakes. But first off, you're leading a workshop day after tomorrow. Is that right?
Yep. Anderson Ranch Art Center. We're doing an iPhone fall landscape photography workshop. So we're going to spend some time in the classroom going over kind of how to get the most out of the camera on your phone, and then go out in the field and take some pictures, and then come back and do some editing on the phone and stuff. So we'll be, the weather looks beautiful, and obviously the leaves are starting to turn and stuff. We should have a great day out there.
That's awesome, and it's so fantastic. And anyone can participate because everyone has an iPhone.
Everybody carries a camera these days.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And is there a limit on the number of people who can join, and is registration full?
There's still some spots open. They do have a limit, but last I looked, they still had maybe two spots open. AndersonRanchArtCenter.org is the place that you could go to get kind of the most up-to-date information on the class and the schedule and all that kind of stuff.
Fantastic. So that was AndersonRanchArtCenter.org?
Yep, that's the place.
Awesome. Fantastic. And you've been around working up at Anderson Ranch, or affiliated with them, for quite some time now.
Yeah, when I moved out here in 99 to take a job at Anderson Ranch Art Center, so that was where I got my start in the Valley. And it's still obviously going strong, and it's an amazing place to have that old converted ranch hosting artist workshops and residencies and things like that. It's such a vibrant place, and we're really lucky to have it here in the Valley.
That's fantastic. And you, when you moved to Anderson Ranch, you're a Colorado local, though, right?
I grew up in the Midwest and moved out here. Actually, it's funny. I married my wife in May 22nd and then the next day we got in the car and drove out here and never looked back.
That's fantastic. I've heard that has been the case with a number of people. This valley just has something about drawing people in. It seems like photographers in particular, as I think you were quoted, or I'll paraphrase, there's so much to work with here in the valley.
If you can't find something to take a picture of in the Roaring Forks Valley, I don't know where else you could go.
Yeah.
we certainly have a ton of photographers. I think probably everybody in the Roaring Forks Valley is a photographer of one stripe or another. You look out in your yard in the morning, there's a deer, there's a bear, the colors are changing, there's a rainbow. There's always something to reason to grab the camera and get a photo.
My apologies. You have it was apparent in the article that you've explored the area quite a bit. Is there a particular place you like to go to most?
There's so many good places. I live up in Snowmass Village, so I certainly spend a lot of time in the backyard just around Snowmass Mountain. There are some of the trails here. Highline Trail and Lowline Trail are great trails for views or for biking and that kind of thing. But also the pass is probably my favorite place to go. Independence Pass just has so many opportunities and so much wilderness, just like where you can park your car and head off into the woods and be by yourself and surrounded by beautiful scenery in just a handful of minutes. And it's also kind of nice that we miss it when it's closed, but it makes it a treat that it's only open 5 months a year, and that it drives you to get out there while you can.
I know one of the things that you and I had talked about is you also do nighttime photography classes, and you talked about photographing the Milky Way with a phone.
Yeah, it's a totally possible thing. It's a little tricky. Obviously the Milky Way is very dim, and so the trick is really as much as possible to get away from the lights of town. We're lucky here that if you drive a few minutes, out on 133 from Carbondale or up the Independence Pass a few minutes, you can get away from those kind of light pollutions, and you can start to see the Milky Way. And there's, as long as you can have it, there's apps that allow you to take a longer exposure on your phone And if you take a nice long exposure, you're going to find the Milky Way in there. If you get it pointed, typically to the south, you'll see it that way.
Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself shooting a lot with the phone?
It's a mix. You know, the nice thing about the phone is it's always there. Like, still most of the commercial work and things I do or the fine artwork is still typically with a big old DSLR. But, like, it turns out a lot of times when you know, the light's just so, and maybe the clouds are clearing and there's rays of sun and the leaves are also golden and things, and you don't have the camera with you, the big one. And the iPhone camera has gotten so good these days that you can really almost match what you can do or even exceed what you can do with a full-size camera with what's now available in our pockets.
Is there any essential and basic tip that you can give our listeners who may not be able to attend on the 18th?
Sure. One of the easiest things to do is if you go into your camera on your iPhone, there's into the settings, which is in the little settings icon typically on your home screen somewhere. Make sure you turn the grid. Those will be little preferences for the camera app, and you should be able to turn a grid on. And it'll kind of turn your camera into looks like a tic-tac-toe board with two lines across and two lines up and down. And it's for what they call the rule of thirds, which the idea of that rule is like whatever your subject is, whether it's your dog or your kid or a flower or something, you should get that subject right where some of those lines cross. You kind of line them up where the crosses are in that rule of thirds tic-tac-toe board, and that'll give you kind of a more compelling composition if you keep the subject out of the center.
Oh, that is fantastic, and I'm going to look into that myself.
You know, it's interesting.
Yeah, there's so much cool stuff on there, and there's so many little helpful gadgets and gadgets and things they've put into the phone these days. So, like I said, they just take really amazing photos. And we have a lot of cool stuff to point them at, so that helps too.
Absolutely.
You know, Jeremy, when you and I had talked, I know there's always, you're one of those profiles that I wrote that I wished I could have had about 1,000 more words for your story. But you talked about how photos turn out better when you love the subject matter, because you talked about scrolling on Instagram and seeing pictures of dogs.
Right. I have the dog theory of Instagram photos, actually of photography in general, which is to say that, a lot of times what we end up doing with the camera, whether it's a phone or a full-size camera, is just sort of pointing it in the general direction of something, like the maroon bells with the lake there. And we don't really give it much thought or have a story we want to tell, and we don't have necessarily an emotional connection with the subject. But when people stop and take a picture of their dog, they'll usually walk around a little, find the angle they get because they want to talk about how the dog is sleeping in a funny position or how it's eating this goofy thing. And so they'll really work to get that subject, and they'll have that emotional connection, obviously, with their dog. And so when they put that picture on Instagram, it's usually enough to stop me from scrolling, even though we're spending, minutes or hours a day, pushing that little feed up to the top of the phone. Those dog pictures, that connection that people have comes through and makes us stop and look. And we can achieve that in our photography when we take the time to kind of figure out what it is we like about the thing we're pointing the camera at.
Yeah. I think that is very true. I mean, I think some of the best photos you'll see on Instagram and Facebook are people's pets.
And obviously it can happen sometimes, like if they're a car guy and they'll take the effort and the time to really show what it is they like about their car or their garden or whatever their passions and interests are. And it's kind of when those social media platforms are at their best is when we're able to share that passion with those photographers.
I know that when I first found out about you is through my daughter who works for Aspen Ski Co. And she, before I moved out here, she would repost photos from the Aspen Ski Co. page, Facebook page. And they were these just gorgeous photos of the mountains. And in fact, the one that ended up in the article was one of my favorites, is fireworks over the, was it the Frank Pan River? Yeah, I believe.
The Roaring Fork. That's
Roaring
the
Fork River, sorry.
It's in Aspen, yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That one's amazing.
And so can you speak a little bit about your relationship with Aspen Ski Co?
Sure. I've been kind of a contract photographer with them since 2005, so I think I'll be starting my 17th season with them, and they've just been amazing partners. Partially, they obviously have a need for constant fresh photos that they use on their websites and their printed collateral on their social media forums. And I kind of happened to bump into them at the right time when they were looking to add more photos, more imagery to what they were doing. We were able to sort of strike up a partnership, and the nice thing is it's a good motivator to get out. Like, when I know I owe them a couple of photos this week and I owe them a couple of photos next week, it helps make sure that I don't find myself on the sofa watching TV or something, and it's a good reason, an excuse, really, to get out and play outside.
And I know you told me you get out at night so that you can be there for first light.
Yeah, one of the big tricks of photography, and it's one of the harder ones, is that the best light is usually right around dawn and right around dusk, and that's a big leg up in getting a nice, compelling photograph if you're there for sunset and sunrise. So usually means you need to be in place. So if you're going to be somewhere for sunrise, you got to kind of get up in the dark and get to that spot and wait for that sun to come up and illuminate that photo.
For those just tuning in, this is Everything Under the Sun. We are on the line with Jeremy Swanson, who will be leading an all-day workshop at Anderson Ranch Art Center this weekend, and is affiliated and shoots for Aspen Ski Co., as we just discussed. I just want to go back real quick, Jeremy.
Yep, of course.
In terms of folks who can register for the 18th workshop, do they have to have iPhones or Androids?
No, Android would be fine.
Okay.
We end up, a lot of the stuff ends up like the kind of little, almost everything that's on the iPhone camera is on the Android cameras, on the Samsung cameras or whatever. They just might be in a slightly different place. So sometimes there's a little technical fiddling around to sort of translate things, but that's no problem at all. It's literally just bring any old camera and we'll go out and take some fall photos and have a beautiful day out in the Roaring Fork Valley.
And going back, in terms of your work with Ski Co., do you find yourself skiing a lot and taking shots on the mountain?
Yeah, we do a lot of those powder shots. There's always a strong demand from the marketing and public relations teams at Ski Co. when we get a snowfall during the winter months to rush out there so we can kind of crow about it on the press releases and on social media channels and stuff. So typically in the winter, we'll see the storm coming. We'll make a plan maybe the night before and rush out for first chair and try and get some great powder shots and rush back and get them all processed and try and get people stoked to come out or plan their visit or get up and get out.
That is fantastic. And leading off of that, in terms of snow, you take exquisite photos of snowflakes.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely, and I've only seen one, but it is exquisite. and it's just so detailed, and it almost doesn't look real. It's just it's amazing that a snowflake is so beautiful.
They surprised me, I think, the first time I started looking at them under kind of higher magnification. The ones I take, they use still a kind of a regular old SLR camera, and there's a kind of a special lens that goes on it that magnifies them. So basically what happens is they end up looking like on the little sensor, on the little digital sensor in the camera, they're about five times larger on that sensor than they are in real life. So they're quite blown up and detailed. And what the trick is that because it's macro photography, there's only a little tiny bit of it in focus, which kind of doesn't make sense. But the closer you zoom in using like microscopic things like that, the less is in focus. So you end up taking 30 or 40 or even 50 pictures of the same snowflake, and each time you move the camera just a teeny tiny bit, you get another little piece of it in focus, and you move it again and get another little piece, and then there's a software that helps to then stack, it's called focus stacking, to stack all these little slices together into one image. And when you see these snowflakes that fall from the sky here, it's just it's something that makes me want to keep doing it. You just want to see the next one. It's kind of like fly fishing or even gambling or something. You keep pulling the lever and seeing what comes next.
Are they all different?
Yeah. So far, they've been telling me for years that no two snowflakes are alike. So far, I can't
cut
them wrong.
That is fantastic. And can you kind of describe for our listeners how you capture the photo?
Sure. So basically when it's starting to snowing, the conditions are kind of need to be just right to get those crystal clear snowflakes, those ones that have lots of arms and jagged edges and stuff. Typically what I'm looking for is pretty cold, like in the 20s. Not too cold, though, because then the flakes get really small. Hmm. You're looking kind of for higher humidity. And then also the biggest thing is you can't have much wind, because if there's a lot of wind, the snowflakes bang into each other and they smash themselves into little tiny bits and pieces. Or sometimes the ones you see and you think they're really big snowflakes, they look like, you know, platters falling from the sky. Those are tough, too, because they're actually rafts of a bunch of snowflakes that have all smooshed together and they're floating down. So you kind of have to find just the little balance of weather and stuff to get the snowflakes they're going to photograph most beautifully. And then all I do is I have a little black knit scarf that my wife made, actually from some wool she got in Paonia. And I just let them fall on that, and I kind of have a magnifying glass kind of thing, and I look around and see which ones might make a good photograph, and then I go through that process of taking all these many, many photos of each one of those individual flakes to kind of compile them into one photograph in the end.
Wow. Have you met anyone else who photographs snowflakes?
I've seen there's certainly other people who are doing it.
Uh-huh.
I know there's at least one other photographer in the valley I've seen do some snowflake work. And some people there's all kinds of approaches, because of course, even with like a phone or something like that, sometimes you're lucky they fall on your ski jacket or something and they don't melt. Sometimes they're, you know, really large and visible to the eye, and you can get a great picture, but it's a technical process, so it doesn't appeal to everybody. For sure. A lot of time messing around, especially in time in front of the computer and all those pieces that that make it a passion that maybe not everybody would like.
Well, and you seem to you are a versatile photographer, just in terms of the types of shoots you do. Is there particulars caveat or that you like most?
I probably landscape photography would be my absolute favorite. Just being able to get out and in those quieter times at dawn or dusk and maybe hike out to some place you haven't been before, that's truly such a special experience. And I know a lot of us in the valley know that and cherish that, whether it's from hiking or from hunting or from riding bikes, is that those moments, especially with some solitude out in the wilderness, is they're irreplaceable moments. And it's the one reason that I think compels us to try to capture them on film, or in this case digitally, and to be able to look back at those moments and cherish them.
Okay.
Yeah, I know the headline that I used was, I think, anything to get outside.
I love that.
Right.
And
I feel like that could be the motto of our valley.
Yeah, and you were talking about how you were looking for something that would pay you money in return for being outside.
And then... Yeah, I sort of had a funny way backed into a photography career. It was not what I studied in school. It wasn't something I like saw coming. Like a lot of people you talk to, they've always wanted to be a photographer, and they had a plan and a path, and they worked it all out. I kind of left my job and decided I need to figure out a way to be outside and to still keep a roof over my head.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We have about 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
Where can people find more of your work?
Sure. If you're an Instagram person, you can go to @jswansonphoto, or I do have a website, jeremyswansonphoto.com, and those are both places you can see more or keep an eye out. I teach classes at Anderson Ranch and at the Air Base. I also have my work is shown in a gallery in Aspen. It's called the Elliott Erie Gallery. And if you swing by there, they'd be happy to show you some photos. Or if you see a guy with a big giant red beard wandering around the valley with a camera, that's probably me. And you can just say hi.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And do you also have a personal business that you operate out of?
It's just Jeremy Swanson Photo. That's
okay.
How I keep it all organized and going. Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, thank you again so much for joining us today on Everything Under the Sun, Jeremy.
Well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed chatting with you all and really appreciate the time.
Yeah, and thanks, Jeremy.
Absolutely.
Nice talking to you again.
And also, one last pitch. If you ever want to, shoot a photo over to the Soper's son, we'd be happy to throw it in there.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
You guys do great work. I do. I keep an eye on you guys. There's beautiful photos in there as well as obviously great writing.
Well, coming from you, that means so much. Thank you so much, Jeremy. And just one more time for our listeners, the Instagram handle and your website.
Yep. On Instagram, I'm at jswansonphoto. And my website is jeremyswansonphoto.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again, Jeremy, so much. And you enjoy this wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. Have a great evening.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.